All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Jerry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is San Jose Sharks, in-your-face, fearless forward, Curtis Gabriel. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What is going on, Nast?
What's up, Riggs? How you doing, brother?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Can't complain. Rocking this this rad jersey.
I love
fired
it
up for the boys.
I love it. Got a lot.
Yeah, man.
Got a lot of them coming in now. Looks good, man. Had a crazy week in the Flyer land, eh? Since we last spoke. It's been a little bit of up and down.
Up and down is right. More down than up, I would say, even though they were 2-2 in the last week. The downs were really down, and you know, it's hard to really put a word on or a phrase on what's happening besides they're just missing some spirit. There's just missing some jam. I don't know what else to really say about it. They look like they don't want to be there, a good chunk of them. So that to me is a problem. Obviously, it's not just like they're losing a game by a goal and it was, you know, a bad bounce and whatnot, you know, but the fact is that we're talking about effort and spirit is a problem, you know, from management down, you know, coaching staff, that's a concern. In the locker room, I'm sure. I don't know what their solution is going to be, but they're going to come. Got to come up with something quickly.
Yeah, I would imagine the front office is seeing the exact same thing everyone else is seeing. As far as the players too goes, you know, they must feel it too. It's hard when you know you were in the locker room, you played. Obviously, I was in the locker room, not being a player, but taking care of the players, and you never want to say that guys aren't trying, because you know you can't ever say that you went out there and you didn't try,
right?
But it comes across that way to people, unfortunately, which we know that's not the case. But it, the spirit, the enthusiasm, the jam, as you said, it kind of was missing here this week. You know, they they win that overtime game in New York, and they're like, okay, you know, it's one of those games. It's back and forth. It's NHL. Nothing's a given. But you come back with a 9-0 loss, and you're almost expecting just someone do something stupid, not to get suspended or not to hurt anyone, but just something to say, hey, we're pissed off. This shit ain't going to happen anymore. Going into the third period, being down 9 rip, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. I'm sure most of those guys haven't either. And they weren't happy about it. They were embarrassed, and as well they should be, obviously. But they come back the next day with a win. They almost let that one slip away against the Islanders. But you know what? At the end of the day, they didn't. They found a way to win. Big Oscar came up with 2 goals, which was nice to see him get back in the scoring column. I think he had been about 21 games. Didn't really like seeing him fighting. I hate to think that that's the guy that's got to try to spark your team, even though, you know, he brings sparks in different air in different ways. But anyway, they found a way to win a game, and then they come back with a 6-1 loss that just was fueled by turnovers, in my opinion. You know, I'm not a coach or a GM or anything, but lots of turnovers.
Yeah, just terrible mismanagement of the puck. You know, go back to that Ranger game. It was just every turnover, every opportunity they gave them was in the back of the net. And then it just seemed to get worse. Like guys stumbling around and falling into the boards. And, you know, just I guess when it goes bad, it goes really bad. And it rains and pours. It seemed to be that in the New York game. And then again, the last game there, 6-1. It's just like, where is the passion? Where's that jam that, you know, that I have seen a good chunks of this season? Just obviously been inconsistent overall. You know, probably winning some games early where they shouldn't have won, and then maybe losing games they should have won. You know, it always balances itself out. But then you get into this trend of not just losing, you're getting absolutely mollywopped. It's like you're getting it taken to you. So I don't know what the answer is. Everyone has their opinion. But to me, it's just like, you said it earlier. No one's going out there not trying,
right?
But you know, in a grunt sport like hockey, when you're fighting for your life and the season itself, and every game is a 2-point game, like you got to dig in even more. You know what I mean? You got to bring your A game every night. And I'm just not seeing it. I'm seeing flashes of different guys here and there. You know, a couple guys have been, you know, very consistent, I would say, you know, between Farabee, JVR, maybe a couple others, but not enough. You know, I think there's been spotty goal scoring, spotty play on defense. You know, Ghost has his moments where he looks like, you know, high end, he's going, he's buzzing, and then he's out of the lineup for 3 games. Because he's, you know, turning pucks over and not managing the puck well and playing, you know, on the right side, on the defensive side of things. But to me, they just gotta find a way to come together. You know, I mean, sometimes it takes some greasiness to kind of get back into, you know, into the winning ways. I'm thinking about that game where I think Jake got hit, and then Nolan's in there. Who, I forget who got hit there. You know, when Nolan Patrick came in.
Claude.
Oh, Drew. G, and then Nolan Patrick comes in there, and Jake comes in there, and it's like you get that, like, that sense of, like, unity. You know, I mean, we're sticking up together. We have an identity. We're together. You know, it's not that it's about fighting, but it's about, you know, showing up. And I just feel like these games that they've gotten bombed out, it's just like, no one wants to take that leap of faith, and you know what I mean, or just that, you know, step up and be that difference maker. You know, I look at, you said Oscar. I mean, why is Oscar doing it? You know, props to him, and I have nothing but respect for him to do that. But geez, I mean, is that what it's come to, or he is the catalyst of change? And I mean that in a respectful way, because I love Oscar.
I
think he's just kind of on the up and up now. He's kind of feeling better. He's getting a little more momentum, but I don't know, a little more jam, man. That's it for me. There's not much else to really say, about that. They just need to find a way to get back in the winning columns here. And before it slips away too far. And once it slips away, it's hard. It's really hard to get back in the swing of things, you know?
Yeah, it is.
As you know, it's confidence and whatnot. And it seems like a lot of guys right now are gripping their sticks a little tight, you know, whether, you know, goalie out, you know, it's just like, there's just this lack of self-confidence, it seems like, for some guys. So
they need to get that swagger back, that
swagger
they were carrying last year. Even when I was still with the team, we got really hot there, and then they kept that rolling into the bubble. If you remember the bubble, the first three games, they put themselves, you know, they couldn't go any worse, but they could go to first, and that's what they did. And they made it look easy. I mean, I don't want to say easy, but they, you know, they just had that attitude.
They were rolling.
They were rolling.
The attitude.
And, you know, obviously wins helps that. So
yeah,
hopefully this week, you know, a lot of hockey, man, it's hard, you know, and you're not getting practice time either. And that's an easy out, but it's the truth, man. It's, you know, the teams that are hot, it's probably easier right now. You don't need as much practice, but right now I'm sure the guys, the Flyers probably need a little bit more practice. I don't know the chemistry, you know, like you said, there's a few guys that haven't really let up. But I feel like there's a lot of moving around of parts, and I know guys get hurt and get sick. You know, we can't take away the fact that Coots was out last game. He's a big part of their team. But you still have to find ways to win when you're missing guys like that. So hopefully this week they find a way to get back on the right side of things and get that swagger back and that confidence, because you got a good team, man. We've said that all along. We know they do. They just, it's when things don't go your way, man, it's you're almost trying too hard sometimes to get them to go your way, where you just probably just need to relax and play. So hopefully they can do that this week.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe they do need a high tempo practice. I know it's a tough one as a coaching staff to kind of, you know, to make that decision and say, okay, we're gonna go on the ice today and we're gonna, you know, give 45 minutes of up tempo practice, you know, when the schedule is so condensed. But you know, if, to me, sometimes look like they're skating in quicksand. They don't look like, you know, a really sharp, you know, quick moving team at times. So I don't know. That could be a short term solution, because you're not going to get these guys in, you know, ultimate high end shape in one practice. But maybe it's just going out there having some fun, snapping the biscuit around, and you know, and feeling, having some fun. I don't know. Yeah. It seems like there's no fun there. There's no, like I say, jam. Like, it's just, I just feel like that ingredient is missing. So they got plenty of games here coming up, and you know, no better place than the next game here. So that's where, you know, teams got to come together and rally a couple big points and move on from there. So
yeah, exactly. Next week, this time, we could be saying, "Hey, they just rolled off four in a row, and look where we are in the standings." That's what we hope, you know, happens here. All right, Riggs, let's get into this week's interview with our main man, Curtis Gabriel, which is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. The tournament is in full swing and the action hasn't disappointed. We've already had a few upsets in the tournament, starting with the biggest one being number 15 seed Oral Roberts taking out the number 2 seed Ohio State Buckeyes. What a game. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Turning $1 into $100 is 100-1 odds. Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100. All it takes is a $1 bet and that team winning their next game. There's no better way to put your college basketball knowledge to the test than to put your money where your mouth is with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry if college basketball isn't for you. DraftKings Sportsbook has 100-1 odds on select fighters for this weekend's UFC 260. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the college basketball team of your choosing pulls off the win. That's code Knuckles to turn $1 into $100. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer, and we are so excited to have one of the hottest guys in the league right now. This mother effer has got more energy than me after about five cups of coffee, and Riley before a game back when he played. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Curtis Gabriel.
Thanks very much, boys. Pleasure to have me on here. This has been something I knew I'd come on eventually. I just didn't know how soon.
Yeah, man.
We're excited to have you, brother.
Yeah, good to see you and actually connect with you face to face and in a good moment of your life. I think you've spent the last month and a half, 2 months with the San Jose Sharks and quickly establishing yourself physically and ruffling some feathers and having people talk about you, which is obviously a positive in what you're trying to accomplish. So maybe talk about the start of the season and how it's evolved into where you are right now in the middle of the season.
Yeah, hottest guy in the league with 0 points. You got to love that.
Hard warm ups though. Solid warm ups, man. You're getting it going.
Yeah, I'm doing about everything else. So that's coming, and that's coming too. The chances are, it's going well. So anyway, back to the training camp and just coming in there. Obviously, it was not in San Jose, which sucked. We're in Arizona. At the ice den, the Coyotes practice facility. So you're trying to get a feel for everything. And they definitely let me know that I wasn't there to hurt any of my own teammates. Obviously you talk about the game changing, games. Like we talked about once in the media, twice to my face, like, hey, we know you're tough. Like, we need everybody on board here. I don't need you hitting anybody, but I still found a way first day to bump Bernsie pretty damn good and introduce myself to him. And he talked about that on an interview the other day. So that was funny too. But no, it was just hard to play my game, obviously, when I'm not being crazy. Basically, when guys know I can't hit them the way I want to, they're going to play differently. And it's people who think intimidation is not a part of hockey, you're lost. It really, really is. And especially now the way guys skate and how physical, like really the intimidation is the hitting, it's the guys that can make clean hits and not getting penalties all the time that are constantly coming. And that's what I'm trying to be. So I wasn't able to do that in camp. I played, solid. I think I played solid. I hadn't played organized hockey in that long. I tried to work on my wall battles, all that stuff, all the little things you kind of have to get back, and no preseason games. Went down to the minors, and I thought that was the best thing for me, because then now the safety's off. I can play some preseason games and do what I do. And I quickly established myself doing that, getting to play like second line, playing 15 minutes a night, playing penalty kill. I was out there against the other team's top players. I can get under their skin. I was hitting everybody. I scored freaking 4 games in a row, which that doesn't happen awesome. For me, so it really allowed me to get my legs under me. And then I came up to the taxi squad, which was a whole new challenge. And I don't know if you guys know Mike Ricci at all, but
I know Ricci well. I know Ricci.
I get introduced to Mike Ricci real quick, and we had to ruffle each other's feathers first before we figured each other out. And he realized how hard I was nuts, but I could back it up with my work and how he's not he's a communicator, but he's not, and he kind of yells a lot. We had to kind of butt heads. So it actually culminated in a skate in a taxi squad skate in St. Louis. The boys, there's just not a lot of energy. The taxi squad, you're in this like no man's land of like, why am I here? It's been like a week and a half. I've been up there 2 weeks, and I need my conditioning. Coach knows you got to have your legs to play this role, especially the way I'm playing it now in today's hockey. So I got to have my lungs. And if I'm not ready to go up and play, I'm useless. I need to be in shape. So me and Reach would just go at it. And, he's yelling at me, and I snapped on him one time because he told me to do something and I was trying to do it. And I just didn't do it. I messed up and I was trying, but he let me. And I was just like, fuck. And he's like, all right, then get on the goal line. I said, fucking about time. Let's fucking go. And he made us do all these suicides. And I'm fucking, every time I come back from the suicides, I'm hammering the boards, just smoking the boards and turning around saying, let's go again then. And he think he figured out that like, okay, he's trying to do everything really he wants it. You to. Yeah. Exactly. So since then, it's just been awesome getting to know him and learning from him. But, I played the one game against Vegas. Didn't feel ready off, I didn't feel like super conditioned. I was kind of second guessing myself. So I took it upon myself the next time on the taxi squad. I did the extra salt biking. I did all the extra works that no matter when they put me in, I'm going to be ready. And it didn't happen still. So I was like, ah. So I went down to the minors, played two games in the weekend. Had like 2 goals and assists, a big fight, dominated, played 15 minutes a night, and then got back up to play Vegas that Thursday. And then I was comfortable. My body felt good. And then you've seen what's happened since then, really.
Yeah, exuding confidence.
I was going to say, Rozzy, very confident. And for the people that don't know everything, they don't watch every game. You bring a physical presence. You stick up for your teammates, which is, to me, will never go away, no matter what anyone wants to say. But you're playing the game. You're playing a good amount of minutes. You're finishing your checks. You're not playing dirty. Yeah, you're talking. You should be talking. Yeah. You're letting people know what's going on. Riles, you did the same thing. I know it's a different time, but, you know, like as a teammate, I've seen what your teammates are saying. You know, I know your equipment guys really well. And to me, it's funny. People are noticing you, which is great. And other guys on other teams are chirping you, but they got their heads on a swivel because they know you're there now. And that's what I love. And that's what I love about hockey too. And I never played. So everybody's going to be like, oh, you're an equipment guy. Yeah, you're right. I was an equipment guy. That's all I was. But I watched about 3,000 damn games. And I know when someone brings energy and positive energy to a team, Riley did the same thing. You're doing it. I think it's great, man. And I kind of get a chuckle out of all the haters because I know they would want you on their team because you'd be their favorite player if you're on their team. And that comes with it. And it's fun for you probably too.
Yeah. It's funny. I just hired a brand kind of content company too, to help me. And he has access to my account. So he's saying like, you know, there's all these fans in your DMs chirping you, and then they listen to a podcast, and then the next DM they send is like, oh, I freaking love you. Never mind. It's actually really funny. So trying to do as much of these things to show my personality because, yeah, I want to be the most hated guy in the league. Absolutely. But then off the ice, I'm just a normal dude like everybody else. And I bring a little extra passion to the game. I mean, the way I came up, you know, I'm just like a normal dude that's tall that just was just like, screw it, let's go for this, you know, and here I am. And I've worked on my game to the point where, I'm contributing like analytically and all that stuff, man. Our team's a forecheck heavy team. I think we were second in the league the last 10 games. Like we put the puck in the corner in a good place. We're getting it back. And if I'm on the ice, you know, you're going to get hit through the wall. So and that changes. And then you see guys like Timo start running around. You see Gambrell still. You know, if we just hit, you get the puck back. And that goes for every team in the NHL. Yeah. It's just, I'm sick and tired of those nights where there's the no hitter. There's no animosity. Like, there doesn't have to be animosity every night, but I'm still going to be in guys' ears, like laughing, joking around, like just firing it up any way I can. Cause that's the hockey I like.
Yeah. And your personality and your role is, well, it's a good, let's say, a dying breed. You don't see a whole lot of that in the NHL anymore. Not just the physical component, but, you know, someone that's that emotionally involved and verbal and, you know, like there's a lot that I see in you that reminds me of myself, you know, and you're way better player than I ever was, but that, you know, that energy on the bench and that relentless, fearless attitude towards every guy. It didn't matter if it was the toughest guy or, you know, the softest guy. It was that you were going to establish, you know, the presence, and you were going to piss someone off somewhere along the line, and someone had to eventually answer the bell. So I give you a ton of props for that, because that's not an easy thing to do, especially in today's game. You know, I'm not going to call you an older guy, but, you know, on the scale of hockey players on the older side, and for you to really find that role specifically and engage in that role the way you are. I mean, no one else is doing it. You know, there's no one else as hungry as you are that I see, not even close.
No. I mean, if the Islanders get Johnston back in, that might be the only guy who's hungry to play the role like I am. I mean, I can't even find a fight. I can't find a fight right now. I mean, we go into Vegas for back-to-back games. I'm absolutely staring down Revo the whole time. And I go out and I'm running people over, you know, he runs someone over, I'm right in his face, challenging him up the ice. Like, I can't find one. So, you know, I just got to keep, you know, playing my game and being effective that way and let it kind of come to me. But yeah, it's kind of sad, like almost in a way sometimes I'm sitting there and it's like, man, like the crowd that we have, the first time we're having fans in the building, we're running around hitting each other. Why won't we fight? Yeah. It's kind of like, come on, dude. Exactly. Like,
But you know, it's a beautiful thing for you. I mean, like, you know, who wants to fight 30, 35 times a year? I know, like, if I could have scored 50 goals, I would have chosen and not have to grind it that hard, you know. But for you, now you're in a position, I think you have three fights against some three tough dudes, and you've all of a sudden gotten this respect around the league where now it's like you can go out and play. You still bang, but, you know, and you can still, you know, play the role and act like you want to fight every shift, or you can just spend that energy on, you know, get on the forecheck and hound it and handling the puck. And then if something happens, well, you beat the pants off him. You look extremely strong and powerful. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like you look unstoppable. So, I mean, now you can maybe shift that effort since you've already got that street credit pretty quickly, in 9 games. And now, you know, play the game, because obviously, as we know, in this day and age in the NHL, you got to play a regular shift. You got to be able to contribute offensively like you are, and you're getting chances. So I think you're in a great position. Yeah. You know, no one's going to fight you. And that's a good problem to have. And Bugner knows that. I mean, these guys know that.
That's what I've always said. When I've been in the minors, you know, on the bus late at night with the boys talking in the back, being like, man, if I can just get up there and get solidified, it's going to be a freaking dream. Like, guys in the minors are so much tougher fighting Jake Doty. You know, this guy is absolutely beat the piss out of anyone up here. He's so tough, dude. And then, you know, if Stockton got moved up to the Canadian division, but I would have been going at Alex Gallant all freaking year if I was down there. Like, dude, he's come tough, on. I get tough. That's what I keep telling people. The amount of motivation I have, that's why I'm so fired up. Like, I could be riding the bus in the minors. I know what that's like.
Fighting all the other meatheads, you know? Like,
I'd still get fired up and loving it, but it's a little different when you get paid 7 times the amount. Yeah. You got everything. I walk around the room and around the team and everything, and I'm just all day just counting how many things I'm grateful for. And I know you and me, Riley, talk about this. Like, I'm just, my perspective is just so like, dude, morning skate, mandatory? Absolutely. Everybody's kind of sleeping a little bit. I'm firing it up, screaming, like selling after goals on Doobie. Doobie's doing like 2-pass stacks on me. Like, that's what's fun about hockey, man. So I'm just trying to bring that in. And I want to, even with the fighting, like, I want to get out to everyone. It doesn't even matter. Guys, people come at me about winning and losing these fights. It's like, dude, I'm going to take every punch they give me, and I'm going to get up and come back around and give you one back. I'm not going to stop coming. As I told Revo, he's like all fired up after his fight with me. I'm like, dude, you think this is only going to make me hit everyone harder? You know, like, but that's the mentality I want with me and my team, is that we're just, doesn't matter the score, doesn't matter what, you know, we're out of the standings, we're in the standings, we're in the hunt, we're just coming every game. And if we do that over the long run, we're going to keep getting better, which we are right now.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough last year to get to meet you, Gabes, obviously, when you came to the Flyers, and things didn't work out the way we wanted. I know I was praying for you to be with the squad. You tweaked your knee in a game, and that kind of set you back. And then, obviously, I didn't finish the year, so around January. But so happy to see, like, what's going on now. And I, you know, we follow each other on social media, and I see how hard you work, and we chit-chat here and there. So I'm really happy for you, man. And I, like I said, I know your teammates, it's infectious, man. And when you have guys like that, like, you know, there's plenty of teams. I won't say any teams, but like, there's teams that you can see need it. They need energy.
Like the Flyers.
there's teams that need energy. And I feel like I've seen a couple teams go and try to get some energy, like Big Tenorti going to Boston there. Right. Like, they brought him in there. There's a reason they brought him in there. I mean, poor guy got hurt the other day. Hopefully he's okay. Crazy hit there. But to me, it's still in the game. I don't ever see, not that the place is packed right now, but if it was and you're running around making your hits, I don't see people sitting on their hands, no, you know, and not making any noise. It's good for the game. It's all positive. You're not a dirty player either. That's some shit I've read. You've been suspended once, and it was against the Flyers when I was there. And I don't think it was an intentional play. And I just by knowing you, and to be honest with you, Patty got you back there. He probably could have been sussy too.
Don't even get started.
Hey, I love both you guys. So I'm just saying, you got him. He got you.
But when I get on a podcast someday, I'm going to be talking about that after my trip. Not right now, but the reason, again, going back to the fighting and stuff, why did I come so hot off the bench on that hit is because in that game, there was absolutely a ton of running around going on, and they didn't want to answer the bell. So I was running around, they were running around. I was like, let's blow off the steam. This is what fighting's for. Doesn't happen. And then I come in too hot and he turns at the lap, you know, and whatever, a bad hockey play happens. So it just shows you, like, you need to have that in the game, man. If we just start axing fighting and then you have all these kids coming out of college from their, you know, cages, just they just putting their heads through people with hits and not having to answer for it. It's just garbage to me.
Well, we were talking the other day too, and I don't think you've been involved in this situation yet, but I was actually talking to Christopher Steve the other night, and I Riles, we did touch on this before, but I feel like these hits, like you're a heavy hitter, man, and you're a clean hitter, but I feel like some of these players have to be held accountable for this all the time. Head down. I mean, oh, he was in a vulnerable position. Well, pick your head up, man. It's the first thing you're taught. And listen, I didn't play the game. It's easy for me to sit here and say it. I could never do what you guys did. I can't even do it in men's league. My head's down in men's league. Someone wanted to hit me, they'd kill me. But in saying that, though, I feel like a lot of that, I think some of the onus should be put on all of you guys playing the game. Gage, if you came around the net with your head down, someone smoked you, that's your fault. Exactly. You got your head down. I mean, yeah, you're in a vulnerable position, but you should know better where you're at. So,
that's where the hitting in the game, like, that's why we have to get back to the real hitting in the game, because, like, even Tenorti, who's a big, tough dude, it can happen to anybody. He crushed Malkin early in the game clean. He's got to know that if somebody gets a chance and he's in a vulnerable position, he's going to get hit. So he goes and he ices that puck, or he puts it in and he doesn't see Tanev come in full speed, right? But that's, I think Tenorti gets up from that when he's all right and says, I have nothing wrong with that. I got to check my shoulder, because defensemen should be worried about going on one leg to dump a puck. You should, if I'm on the ice and you're going to go on one leg and put everything into that dump to get it around the goalie, which is something coaches talk a lot about, you're going to pay the price for that. It's all just paying the price. So I know that in a game, I read plays sometimes like, yep, I'm going to take a hit. I took a hit from Getzlaff. I saw Patty cut into the net and I threw a no-looker, kind of that no-look Kuznetsov play from behind the net. And I knew Getzlaff was coming and I took a hit for it. We've been chirping. And so he took his shot and I paid up for that for a chance to score. That's the game. So it can't just be like, oh, I'm, you know, even defensemen will go in the corner and just spin their back because you 100%. Know you can't hit them. I freaking hate that, man. Like, I don't ever do that, ever. I will never go into a hit and be like, I'm going to just turn so I can – I play the game straight up. Yeah. And I think that's what part of makes guys scared of me is I'm going through you and I want to every time. I'm not backing down from a hit that's coming. Like, it's such a weird thing to talk about, but you got to know. You got to have your head up. Or that's not the physical game we know.
Yeah, and I think to Nasty's point, like, it's – probably the biggest thing that's wrong with the game right now, because we grew up being, you know, in this game of accountability, right? And it's like, okay, you're accountable for your actions, your stick, your elbows, and you're also accountable for how you're skating up the ice. Like Nat said, if you're skating with your head down, I mean, I remember 5 years old being told, you know, you don't skate with your head down through the middle of the ice. You know what I mean? You don't, right? So somewhere along the line here, we've now rewarded that behavior. And then, hey, I'm 100% against blatant headshots. Don't get me wrong, right? I mean, blatant elbows, blatant shoulders to the jaw, like, you know what I mean? Some dirty hits. But we, again, to Nasty's point, like, we have to get to a point where we can penalize the guy either getting hit or turning his back, like you said, Curtis. That's putting yourself in a vulnerable situation, because who wants to be the guy that you have the guy lined up, you're fully engaged in the hit, he turns his back and you paralyze him or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's not fair. To the guy who's just trying to play a hard game.
Yeah, you're right, Riles. And a lot of things that people don't understand either, I can never move as fast as you guys, but this game's not slow, boys. God. And people see things in slow motion.
Yeah.
It's way different, man. Like, we talked to Zach Ronaldo a few weeks ago, Gabe's, and when he last played here, he got about four or five-minute majors for hits, never got suspended. Because they didn't review them. They didn't look. The refs didn't look. They did actually look at that play the other night with Tenorti. They actually went over and watched the replay for it and still gave him the five in a game. But Ronaldo hit guys clean, but their head flew back because he hit hard.
Yeah.
And he got kicked out of games, and he really shouldn't have been. So the game goal is a fast, fast game. And if you're going to hit a guy and he just turns his back, like, you're going to hurt yourself trying not to hit him. To me, I mean, I don't know that personally like you guys do, but it looks that way anyway. From being on the bench, watching how fast you guys are, I mean, when a guy turns his back, what are you supposed to do? You know,
like I said, if a guy's coming to hit me, I know that I'm not turning my back. I'd way rather have you crack my collarbone than fucking hit me from behind and paralyze me. Like right. I'm going to take the hit straight on. I don't want to. The only time I'm turning my back is in like corner battles where I'm sticking my ass in the guys, right. You know, or a reverse hit or something like that. But there's no excuse to just turn your back and be like, haha, I'm just going to keep this puck going along the wall. Like I took a boarding on Tuck because he tried to do that, and I still hit him through. It's like he was this far away from the boards, and he wants to just throw his back there. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm hitting. Like if that's a 2-minute boarding, I'm taking that every day of the week. That's what got Riva to fight me. So I hate that crap, and it's sick because it pisses me off. At the same time, if I can get my team to just everybody hits, I'm yelling it on the bench. I'm like, boys, if you go stick on puck and then through their body every time, don't guess on the forecheck. Don't guess, oh, is he going to bump this play to the next D? Everybody go through your man. There's five of us. There's five of them. You go through them. You're both out of the play for a split second. The next guy, the puck is the next guy. You go through them. The teams cough it up like it's nothing because they're terrified because it's a different age of hockey. Yeah. But that's what I'm trying to use my passion and my excitement and whatever infectious energy to be like, that's how we need to play. That's how we're going to dominate. We dominate teams below the tops of the circles. Dominate them. Okay, we're working on the rest of our game, but we just need to get it there. We have the transitional players. We have all these players to get there. Just be physical, reload above, physical again. We're going to win games. That's how St. Louis won the cup. That's the kind of team.
Yeah. Well, it is. That's a great point. That's exactly how they won it. And even in my opinion, that's how Washington won the year before. Everyone was playing physical on that team, I thought. And so did Vegas. Vegas lost that, the finals. But me and Chief Craig Berube were talking about that, how physical, you know, the teams are that usually win. Because again, I didn't play the game, but I know I sure as hell don't want to get hit every time I go back to get a puck. I mean, you know, and I know you guys probably you
I don't want to get hit. I feel it too. But I know somebody's coming. I'm like, shit, man.
Yeah. Pressure hits breeds turnovers. I mean, it's like it's been the story of hockey since the start of time. You know, I think we've gotten away from that. You know, that forecheck game, and we went. Not that we've gotten totally away from it, but it's gone so skilled that most teams now just want to generate, you know, off the rush and whatnot and not, you know, do the old school grunt work where, as you know, he says, you go at a guy, stick on puck, and you're going to put your shoulder through his chest cavity. These guys are going to throw pucks off the glass or rim them or just leave them. I've seen that several times too.
Or panic.
That's the evolution of the game though, right? Like, you know, when you played Riley, you could go in there. I'm sure they said stick on puck, but you're out there saying, I'm going to play 5 minutes and fucking hit everyone hard. The stick, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like now it's like, if you do like the stick first, but if you can just get in somebody's way, man, it changes the whole game. Like that's why I can't just go down the minors and hit it anymore. And now when I'm on the ice, I'm just constantly thinking stick position, then through the body, reach for the stick before I hit the body. But that's the evolution of the game.
Yeah. That's still the new age forecheck, right? Back in the day, the stick was up in the glass and you get the big bang. Yeah. It's like the puck's going back the other way. You got the hit, but you didn't get the puck.
They know that now. They know how to take hits and keep it going. Every breakout's those little shares we talk about, these little 3, 5, 10 foot passes, and that's how you break out. So you have to have your stick everywhere. But if you add that part where they know who I am and they know I'm coming to hit them, it just changes the whole shift. Sometimes I don't even have to hit guys. I just come screaming in the corner, yell at them, and they'll turn it over.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when you know you've established yourself, you know, and get that enough street cred that you can do that. Because I remember, you know, back in the day that I would do similar things where it's like, you know, back in your mind, you necessarily don't want to fight every night, even though you have to act it and be ready for it. But at some point, you can almost have fun with it. Because, you know, I mean, you see the power of accountability and see the power of, say, fear is really what it lands up being, is that you're basically calling someone out. And it's working. It's like a psychological game. It's actually pretty amazing.
It's so funny when I chirp him. And I even had one guy, he's like a rookie. And he's like, who are you? I'm like, do you even have a goal yet? I'm pretty sure you haven't even scored in the NHL. And you're asking me, who am I? I said, I'm the guy that's going to come run you every time. And he's like, I call everybody by the first name. It just cracks me up. Like, oh, guys, Ryan and their last name. So, and I yell at them, but they just kind of look at me and they're like, what? I'm like, I'm still coming. And they're like, okay. Like, it just, if they would just say back to me, like, yeah, I know, they'd shut me up. But they all want to act so sick and you suck, Gabriel. Like, that's, you think I haven't heard that one before, buddy? I'm still going to come hit you twice as hard now.
Exactly. Oh, man. the amazing, you know, the mind component of that whole thing, right? It still exists. Whether, you know, there's the say anti-fighters or anti-controversial hockey players, and then there's the existence of that power. Like I say, I call it a superpower. You know, it still exists. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
You know, a guy like Ronaldo is still floating around. He's keeping guys honest. Obviously, there's a few guys, Reeves and a few others, that would probably fall in that category, but there's not many. But it still exists. And when you actually flex that muscle, it's amazing what it can do. You know, stand in front of the net like King Kong. It's like, see who comes after me. See who really wants this, you know? No one.
And it's one thing, too, for guys that Riles like and Gabe's that may run around, not run around, but yeah, run around, hit, play physical, but not answer the bell. You're answering the fucking bell.
That's it.
And that's a big difference.
I'm drooling to answer the bell. Did you see what I hit Larson in Anaheim and Deloria came close to me? He didn't even get his gloves off yet. Yeah. I just sent him. I danced up to fight him because I'm like, about fucking time somebody wants to just stand in on me when I do something. Like, I feel like I'm hitting people and I'm skating by guys' benches. And I'm being like, really? Like, that really? That didn't, because like, I would come kill you if you did that. But okay.
Yeah.
it's funny. A couple years ago, when I was still with the Flyers, we were playing in Anaheim. And you know, Getzlaf's not going to probably fight very much. I know he can. I've seen him fight. But it was funny because Travis Konechny was kind of being a little rascal, you know, like he is, and which I love. He's a little guy, but he plays with a big chip on his shoulder. And He did something to Getzy, kind of stuck him, and Getzy stuck him, and then TK got the last word, and he starts skating over to the bench at TK, and Simmer stands up and goes, "Oh no, don't do it, Getzy." And I thought Getzy would be like, "F you, Simmer," you know, like, I know he respects him, but just, you know, what are you going to say? Oh, okay. But Getzy was like, "Well, he's acting like an idiot." Holy shit, Simmer. He was like, you know, it's like Sidney Crosby told me the one day, he said, he said, "Man, it looks like everyone's looking for quarters on the ice when Simmer comes around. You know, when Simmer walks or comes into a certain, you know, a group of guys and stuff." But anyway,
I would love to play that guy. I've wanted to play him so many times. You know, when I was obviously with Jersey, and then where did he go? He went to Jersey, and I was with Philly. So all year, I'm like, "Oh, that's the number one matchup I can't wait for." Simmer never got to happen. You know, I like the way he fights as a guy that's not as heavy, and he just has to be more technical with it, and he sticks his face in there. We would have a heck of a fight, that's for sure.
He's one tough man, I'll tell you that.
Gabe, I was going to ask you, I mean, you played in the OHL, and I was looking at your fighting majors, like, through the OHL and then, you know, early pro, and I guess I would say it's somewhat consistent, right? I mean, you're fighting maybe, like 7 to 12 times a year pretty consistently. Like, at what point did you realize, well, like, I have to take that physical game up a notch or two or three or four, and now, to me, you fully embraced it. There's no question that you fully understand your role and probably above and beyond. Like, you go above and beyond most guys that would do that. Like, where along the line did it click and be like, "Hey, well, I'm a big dude, I'm strong as shit, and I can play the game, and this is my ticket."
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny. Like, you looking at my majors, they would be way higher if there wasn't a 10 fight rule. So when I went to the OHL, my first year, I wasn't ready for that. Yeah. So in major midget, I went from major midget AAA right to the OHL. So I just bypassed. It was crazy, you know, journey. But I asked that coach told me early in that AAA year, the year before I made the OHL, he said, "Hey, you're going to have to start playing more physical. I know you're trying out for junior teams and stuff." He's like, "You're not going to be a goal scorer. You're going to be a physical player." And I'm like, okay. I went and talked to my mom about it. She's like, "All right, well," she's my hockey mom and dad. She's like, "Yeah, we'll try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it." I'm like, "All right." Went out, started focusing more on hitting. And I was like, okay, I've always been an intense dude. I've always been like, I'm not pumping my own tires. In high school, if there's a bully, I'd be like, "Hey, cut the crap." Like, I never got in a fight with them. I was just like, I'm not afraid of conflict. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of that, like, adrenaline rush. And then, you know, fast forward to OHL camp, I, you know, got in a fight there. I played well, and I was like, okay, this is kind of be my thing now. But then right as soon as I'm ready to fight my second year, I'm ready to come back and, like, take over, is like, they put a 10 fight rule in. So every year I had like 13 or 12, which is over the limit, because I would get guys to jump me. If I crushed someone and they jumped me, it didn't count to my 10. So that's how I was always having more of the fights than 10. which is huge. So that's actually the same rule in the minors now. So now I'm just trying, I was always trying to get guys to jump me. But in the NHL, when D-Lo comes after me, I don't care about the instigator because it doesn't matter. So I'm ready to go. So I would try to suck guys into fights. But you know, I would add like 20 plus, 30 plus probably if there's no 10 fight rule in the O. But it definitely allowed me to play a bit, I guess. And, yeah. You know. I could have turned pro after my 19-year-old year. I got drafted as a 19-year-old, but I wanted to go back. They're like, you ready to fight the big boys yet? And I'm like, I mean, I only had 28 points. I should probably go play, you know, some more minutes in junior, you know, get kind of more solidified. And then when I started pro, I was actually ready to, in my first year, I had like, you know, 13 and won a lot of them. And then the next year I had 17. So I really, definitely the last couple of years of junior, I was like, yeah, I'm ready now to do this against men.
You put up like 51 points, I think, your last junior year, which was
without playing power play. So I led the team in assists.
Oh shit.
I led the team in assists, not a sniff on the peeper. I still hold that to this day. Everybody's like, Gabe, you had like 50 points. It's not bad. And I'm like, buddy, I had 17 in the first 13 not playing power play. And I was a Colin Minnie and being like, okay, I know I'm not going to be a tough guy, but can you tell the coach here to let me like have some fun, like maybe work on my offensive side of the game. I saw a guy the captain the year before got given the keys to the team, like power play, penalty kill, first line. And I got second line in PK. And I'm like, where's my power play time? I could add 80 points. So whatever. I always hold that to, you know, to some people, like it's kind of garbage, but I guess they didn't want me to get too, you know, crazy and think I'm something I'm not. So that when I turned pro, I wasn't shocked by playing 10 minutes and fighting again. I don't know.
The logic.
Well, that's pretty impressive. But I think I would have put you in front of the net on the PP.
Dude,
6'4", man.
Yeah.
Well, if I lead the team in assists, don't you think I could maybe pass the puck a bit too? Like five on five apples? Like, I mean,
are you telling me right now you're gonna run on the fucking sidewall in San Jose Sharks power play? Right
no,
now?
Not on PP. Fuck with you, man. Fuck off.
I'm making a call, man.
Somebody though, you could have put me on the in junior. It's junior. You see 20-year-old tough guys dominate. And anyway, yeah. I always kind of like a burr if somebody brings that up. I always make sure to say that I didn't get to play power play.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I was going to say.
I'll tell you.
Go ahead, you're fast.
Go ahead, Roz.
No, I was going to say is I touched on like bring up the Flyers there earlier. And I'm just like thinking in my head, like as I'm speaking to you, it's like you're exactly what the Flyers need right now. You know, it's just like, I'm sure there's other teams obviously that could use a spark plug, but it's like, I just like look at these games and I'm like, where's the energy? Where's the passion? We got Oscar Lindblom stepping up the other night and fighting. I'm just like, there's gotta be a better way. There's gotta be something more out there than what, you know, and I love the Flyers and, you know, it's just like these last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 games, it's just like soulless. And I'm just like, where is it? And then I'm seeing you on the other side of the country going nuts and just bringing it more energy in warmups than the Flyers have brought maybe two of the last three games. You know, it's like, I just shake my head. And you obviously had a relationship with Chuck and it didn't work out with the Flyers and whatever else. I mean, I'm not saying anything about that, but it's just like, man, it's like,
yeah, it's.
I'm sure they're seeing it too. I mean,
it's I'm sure. Yeah. You know, probably knocking on Saturday's sure they, door.
They're not noticing.
They're not noticing. No.
Yeah, and the thing is that like Gabe's, you know, most of the guys on the team anyway, as I do, and there are guys there that I'm not saying they can do what you do, but there's energetic guys not playing that role that you can play, which I still think they need, but it's been a little lackluster and I don't know why, you know, talked to the guys quite a bit, but I feel bad because I feel like something's just not right with them. And of course I'm pulling for them. But I feel like there's just something not right now with them.
Well, I tell you, man, it's, you know, it always cracks me up all the fans that, you know, and I live on social media. I'm really growing like that kind of stuff. I think that's great to engage and, you know, like me and Regal can chirp each other in the media. It doesn't mean if I saw him out on the street, I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? Like, he may have a hate on for me, but I separate hockey and humans. Like on the ice, I can hate somebody off the ice and go have a beer with you right away. Right. It's awesome. So
that's the way it should be.
Exactly. It is the way it should be. But guys kind of have like, I don't know, guys like they don't have that passion anymore. And I think we don't grow on trees. Guys like me don't grow on trees. And the fans who constantly chirp me and chirp guys like me and think, oh, you know, they would just throw Gabriel away if they got like a bag of pucks or something like that. It's like, I don't think you realize, fans, like there's not many guys that do this anymore. And nobody's doing it like I am. That's for sure. I'm not afraid to say that. So I just think I'm a skilled player. I have a skill set that you just imagine trying to, I could go up and play second line a lot better than some of those guys could come down and play my role. I'll tell you that for free. You know, for like sure. You couldn't come, some of these guys couldn't come down and do my role. That's a skill. I have a skill set. And I've always said, like I said before, if I could just get in, I know that I'm an old school throwback in a new age. I'm going to just terrorize people and bring that kind of energy every night because I want to do it every night. I genuinely love my role. I'm not sitting there going, oh, I wish I got 13 minutes tonight. Oh, I'm like, this sucks. Like, you know, I'm like, but every time Boogie says my line's up, I go, yep, and yell loud and say, I got this guy. Here we go. And I smack Patty Marlowe. Let's go. You know, like I love my role. And I'm tired of teams that like just load up like skill on the fourth line. Those guys don't want to play in the fourth line. No, you need people that want to be there. You genuinely need people that want 100%. To be there.
You're not, and I don't think a team that has a full four lines of skill is going to win in the playoffs anyway, because what happens when the playoffs starts, all of a sudden bodies start getting thrown and you see where some guys disappear and where some guys don't. We talked about that too, Riles. And
yep.
I'll tell you what, man, it's a different game when that comes around. So I hope you guys can find your way into a spot, man. I know you guys have been playing a lot better, especially since you've been called up. I think you're around 11 points out, which is a bit, but you never know, man. You just put a few together. That's all you can do.
We got the rest of the season pretty much at home, right? We started the first so long of the season on the road. So we have a lot of home games. We just got to start beating the teams that are below us. Like we got, that are just above us, right? Like we got LA tomorrow and Wednesday. Like we thought these last two St. Louis games were must win. So now these are, you know, we got to win. We got to throw together 5, 6, 7 gamers here.
Yeah, you do. You do. I mean, obviously there are 4-point games every one off the market because you're playing the same teams. But yeah, those are big games, especially the ones that are a little bit ahead of you, man.
But the culture,
you guys can do it.
The culture, though, right? Like we, you know, even coming in, I was new here, so but I got to see the new thing they put in training camp, this Sharks code kind of thing that they had. I wasn't here, but apparently they had issues in the locker room and stuff. But I think it's pretty good now, and we're pretty accountable. Guys are getting after each other if they have to. You know, there's internal competition for the lineup now. There's a lot of guys playing well in and out. Like, that's what you want, right? And it's not always the most comfortable. You know, guys want to play in a team. They know they're playing every night, and the fourth line's set. But, you know, a lot of things are changing here. A lot of people are pushing, and that's only going to make us better. If we make the playoffs this year, great. But I truly think that there's a special group of guys here that we can mend that young passion with the older guys and make a good run at it. So I know it's like a reset year, but we're building that consistency of playing the right way all the time. And as you guys know, that's everything. You know, like you said, like the Flyers were dialed last year, and now they're having trouble with that. You always got to be working on that consistency. It doesn't always matter who's in the lineup. It's the attitude, it's the culture, it's the level of what you expect around the room, and that's what's changing.
Yeah. And you're a huge part of that. You know, I don't really necessarily know what the team looked like before you came in there, besides like, you know, looking at the roster, but you know, with energy I'm talking about. But, you know, like you have to have some sort of philosophy when you're building a culture, right? I mean, again, what do you call a reset year, or I want to say rebuild year, but, you know, like, you know, something in that, you know, that middle ground there. And to me, it's like I'm just such a big believer in energy, you know. And again, maybe not everyone has to fall in the category of you know, more on the extreme side of that energy. But like the culture has to be passionate. It has to breed passion. It has to breed guys wanting to come to the rink and do the work. Like you said, when you were not a Black Ace, you were in the, what do they call it, taxi squad there. Well, the energy is low, right? But like, but why? You know what I mean? It's like everyone, one of these guys is living their childhood dream of playing the NHL, and you're one injury away from being called up, or one shitty game away from being called up. You should be pouring that extra effort.
That's why I was getting so fired up. That's why I was getting so fired up. We were playing like 3-on-3, and I was like yelling at Reach, like, you know, he said it was winner's puck, but I thought it was loser's puck or something. And I started screaming at him like it was our puck in the two pass. He's like, "Can you fucking settle down?" I'm like, "I'm going fucking crazy. No, I can't fucking settle down. I need some competition, man. Like, I need to feel like I want to play." And then, yeah, you know, it's just, this energy was just so like, ugh. Like, I hate
Reach's hair. Is it down?
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's good. He has good hair days, and he's got good hair days and bad hair days. The other day on the bench, when the other day when I got a 10 minute in that game, so I was talking to Wes a lot, like I said, before he came on, he came over and Reach said, "Oh, Wes, at least your hair's still looking good," or something. I said, "Reach, yours is not." And he's like, "I know." And Wes loved that. And he just looks at me, and Reach looks at me and he goes, "You just got some screws loose, eh? You never shut the hell up." He's like, "But you know what, kid? You know what? You can tame a tiger, but you can't paint stripes on a house cat."
No, that's the truth, that's
right.
Isn't it?
That's right.
That is the truth. Oh, man. I wanted to ask you, I think your second fight this year against Clifford. I was dying, looking at his facial expression. I don't know what you said. Are you able to tell us what you said?
I can talk about this one. This one's
pretty funny. So
it was Binner, right? Binner's a good friend of mine junior. Right. And he obviously did that, he was Binner. He's the Binner we love. He got all fired up and went after Doobie and our whole team, right?
Oh, yeah.
I had to text him. They touched down the night before, and I knew he'd be in town, so I had to text him, like, "Binny, I'm here now. I love you. I love that out of you. I love that passion, but not when it's my team. So you picked the wrong team to do that. Somebody's going to have to, pay up a pound of flesh for that. Somebody's going to have to answer for you if you're not going to, because I don't think you're going to fight me." And he kind of sent me a message back, like, "Good to know." And I was like, "Give me more than that. Come on, we're off the ice right now. We're boys. At least I'm giving you the heads up." And he's like, yeah. So that's when I went out for morning skate and stood on the bench and was like eyeballing everybody. And they, guy coach came by, "What are you looking for?" I said, "I'm looking for somebody tonight, and Binner's over there shaking his head at me." Yeah. Of course, they didn't play him that night, right? And we all knew why that was. And then into the warm-up, I guess Cliffy had just been hearing the stuff I've been doing and text, maybe heard about the text and all that stuff. So he saw me talking to Reeves the two nights before in social media, I guess. So he came screaming in. I'm drinking my water bottle with the red line. He came screaming in to me, and he really tried to intimidate me. He gave it his best shot. I think he thought he could stare. He's got those scary eyes.
Yeah.
I think he thought he could stare into my soul this close to my face and kind of throw me off. But I think the opposite happened. And then he kind of, after the first 5 minutes of talking, he kind of lightened up and realized it wasn't going to happen. And then it got back to being respectful after that. But he really tried to, see if he could push me off my line, and that didn't happen. So,
that's great. I love that story.
Awesome, man.
We got to get Chief on here.
I love Chief's perspective. Chief.
I would love to hear it. Because he's probably fascinated by the stuff still.
He's probably sitting over there just whenever the team's around, he hates me, right? He's got to be sitting on his own, I love this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember Riles, I don't think you were playing, but he was an assistant at the time. With the Flyers, and we were in Toronto, and Orr was there. Orr was still playing, and something happened, and no one wanted to talk to Orr. I don't think Rose Hill wasn't in the lineup that night. So Orr came by the bench. He was like, "Anybody going to do anything about it?" or something, something to that effect. And of course, everybody's like looking down at their skates, right. Which I turned to act like I was doing something with sticks. But he looks at Chief. He goes, "Hey, Chief, you're the only guy over here tough enough to fight me, huh?" And Chief just kind of chuckled and just kind of looked the other way. What's he going to say?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But it was kind of funny. But because he was laughing, he was like, "Chief, you're the only guy to have the balls to fuck with to fight me, But that was fun watching you two talk there.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we needed in the game. And here's something I wanted to bring up on a podcast. I saw the Tkachuk brothers. What did he say? Matthew said, "Well, anybody thinks we're going to fight, you're an idiot, right? Our parents would hate that. That's garbage." And I remember I was talking to my mom about it the other day, and she goes, I was like, "Mom, how do you think I'd answer that question?" And she started dying laughing. Yeah. She said, "You'd take your brother's head off." And I said, "Yeah, damn right I would." That's crazy, man. This, you can keep it on and off the ice. This game, you can get hurt. That's why we sign up, We have the ladies swab our noses with the COVID test every day, and she's like, "Oh, your hands again, your eye." I'm like, "I wish there's no fighting." And I'm like, "Lady, you don't play. You don't have a say." And she's like, "You know what, that's a fair point. I never thought of it that way." I said, "Yeah, just let us do what we want out there."
Yeah, right? Yeah. We signed up for it. No one's putting a gun to our head.
Yes. When I'm done playing hockey, I'm not going to get that adrenaline rush anymore where that split second before a fight, I line up with Cliffy there and I'm like, "Are we going?" He's like, "Yeah, but we're not squaring up." And then your adrenaline just goes the roof. It's looking at him like, "Well, you're not getting in tight on me." And he's like, "Well, yeah, I am." I said, "Well, I'm backing up and you're not." And your wires are crossing. You're ready. As soon as I don't have that anymore, I'm going to have to go to my you know, if I'm still living in London, the MMA gym, their adrenaline with all the Mark Comnick's a UFC legend. Like, I'm going to have to do something with him. I'm going to have to get my ass kicked once a week to just get my stress out. Like, that's, it's a human thing, man. You go back a long time. Humans been fighting a long time. So you know what the risk is when you get in there.
Oh yeah. Fight or flight, right? You got to pick one and you're, you know, you're all in on the fight and you're looking pretty damn good. I mean, you look mighty strong. Yeah, I mean, from the three fights that I've seen this year, like, you know, your strength and your balance, and you look like you put some serious work in the off season for sure.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. It definitely helped grappling with 300-pound CFL center lineman.
Oh, that definitely helps. That helps.
So Mark Hominick brought him in. I showed up to the gym one day. He's like, "You've been asking for somebody to grapple with," and I said, "Yeah, you got somebody." He's like, "Oh yeah." So this guy comes in, he's 6'2", like 295. And obviously as a center, they play all, you know, they block with their hands. They can't close their hands. So I had to, I taught him for the first like 5 to 10 minutes of what I wanted him to do. And I threw him around a little bit just because I'm used to grabbing. And then he started to figure it out. And then I was in trouble. And then I really had to work all my outs. Like, I have outs in fights. I have, for everything, there should be an out for me to get to a better position kind of thing. And you're always going to eat punches. That's never, like, the part of the plan is I'm going to eat at least one or two. I hate the guys that are just never trying to get eaten, right, but, or eat a punch. But all that work and practicing constantly helps so much for sure. And I do it mentally all the time, every day, just to be used to all the switches happening. But if I end up fighting McDermott in one of these two games, if I play, that will be that's going to be quite a test because he's a huge man and we know each other and it's kind of personal between us, honestly. He's ducked me a bunch of times, surprisingly. I bet you wouldn't expect that, but he has. And it's time, I probably. So obviously if it happens, he always fights off the start of a face-off. If they throw his line out, because they're the road team, if they put him out first, and I'm playing, I mean, we'll go off the center ice. I'm sure he better finally, you know, answer the bell. But that'll be a very interesting fight, Riles, because you're saying I'm looking strong, but he's the biggest guy. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You think he's tougher than Reeves? Big.
I mean, first of all, why haven't they fought? Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's blows my mind. Like, you know, I'm not saying first game they need to fight, but somebody should have thrown a hit in the last how many games they played each other.
Right, to earn a fight, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's even like Chris Stewart and Reeves never fought because they're, you know, God's son of his kid, but they played against each other and never. Like, I don't get all that stuff, all the brothers that don't fight and the friends that don't fight. Like, it drives me crazy, but yeah. Durham is a former friend of mine, let's put it that way, former friend. All right. It's personal with him.
Wow. Well, I gotta tune in and watch.
I know. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm not gonna force it.
I think you still play your game and you're ready for it.
If they start him,
yeah.
If they start him, then yeah, then he better answer the bell. But if not, I'll be doing my thing. Like, I should be earning a fight from someone every night with the way I play, honestly. Yeah. And I do stuff every night where if I was on the other team, I'm going after that guy. So
what shows you the state of the NHL right now? If you played like that, say 10 years ago, 15 years ago,
oh my God,
you would have a fight every night. Usually we carry, you know, multiple, two, three, four guys maybe at one point there. And the fact that you're doing that and no one's challenging you is embarrassing on their end. But I mean, it should give you more superpowers. I mean, it's like, okay, well, now I'm King Kong on juice, you know, no one's going to touch me, you know, and then you just pick yourself as Bob Prober floating around. Who the hell wants to fight that guy? You know, it's like, okay, well, just leave him alone. And then Proby goes and scores, what, 30? And he's an all-star. You know, it's like, well, but, you know, you're in a position now, the new NHL, I mean, you're not fighting 50 times a year. You're fighting, you know.
But being effective every shift, like, you know, finishing the checks that build momentum, you know, constantly finishing shifts in the O-zone, you know, getting to the net. Like, that's the stuff that's going to constantly earn, you know, the respect and the attention, right? I had to play a better game and be more physical even than the first game against Reeves for him to finally, you know, fight me or whatever. So, just takes a lot these days for it. And then, of course, they always want to – sometimes they come back after when you're already winning. I've already asked them and they come back after we're winning. And it's like, but it's like, this isn't the 80s. I can't just fight you because I have an ego.
They know you're going to say no, and now is the time to act tough or whatever. But I also realize, too, that guys get older and they're more established in the league and they feel like they don't need to fight anymore. But I think, you know, you're a perfect example of, like, a young up-and-comer, a guy that's really trying to establish himself, like – and you've already proven to do that. Like, you got to give this guy the fight. He's foaming at the mouth for it. and you're like supposedly one of the top three champs in the league. You know what I mean? Like you're so at some point you got to defend the title, right? I mean, you can't just like skate around like, oh, I'm this tough, and you know he's gonna run around and bang all my guys, and I'm not gonna do anything about it because I'm already an established tough guy. You know, at some point you think that they would have to, you know, re-earn that street credit. But I think I've seen that back when I was playing too, the older guys, and rightfully so. Who wants to be close to, you know, 30 or 32 years old and fighting 30 times a year, especially when you've been doing it for however long. So I get it. Yeah. I mean, pushing the envelope,
The way I look at it is you got to pay the price to do the role. As soon as I'm not willing to pay the price, I won't be doing it, because I won't look myself in the mirror and be like, I'm doing this. Like, I don't want to get to the point where, like, I have a growth mindset, I keep getting better. What if I could play like I can penalty kill, I don't care what anybody says. You know, where I work my way into playing more of a role, you know, penalty killing every night and stuff. And they go, Gaze, you don't need you to fight every night. I'd look at him and be like, no, if I need to fight, I'm going to fight someone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm old school with it that way. And if I'm not willing to do that, I won't go play. Like, if there's just no point if that's my role.
I would think just from watching your coach when he played, Woody Man there, like he was, and again, it was a different game, but I mean, he was in the mix, man.
Rocky Thompson?
Oh, yeah, Rocky. Fuck, I love Rocky, man. Rocky Thompson came down to the Phantoms locker room in 1998 in the finals, game one, in the morning after they had their morning skate. And he knocked on my equipment door, I swear on everything. And I didn't know it was him. Obviously, the door was closed. I open it, and there's this guy standing there with long hair. I knew who he was, obviously. And he was like, hey, how you doing, man? I'm like, good. And I'm like, is he going to punch me? What's he doing down here, man? Why did he walk down to our end? This is in the old Spectrum games. And he goes, is the animal here? He's talking about Frank Bialowas. And I said, nah, man. I said, he already took off. He goes, okay, do you mind just asking him that Rocky said, can we go tonight, like right away? You know, this is in the final. All politely, he said, could you please ask him if we can go tonight? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I'll ask him. Yeah. And he goes, okay, thank you. And he turns around and goes, see you later. And he walks away, and I'm like, holy shit, man. So Frankie comes in, you know, like, I didn't even want to say it to him because you guys got to play a game. It's the fight, you know, like, I'm sure he knew in his head he was going to fight, you know, Rocky. And anyway, Frank Francois came in, and I'm like, I called him the Animule. His nickname was the Animal. And I said, hey, Animule, I said, you had a visitor, but you had already left. I told him what happened, Rocky. He came down here. And I said, yeah. He goes, okay, go. I'll fight him.
Okay. I remember that fight,
and
too.
And they did. They fought three times in the finals. In six, really good fight. Frankie got the better of him in the first one. He actually made him miss game two, I think, because he closed his eye. But they fought three times
in the finals. I bonded with Rocky a bit. Obviously, as a head coach, Boogie's more, you know, the overseer, and then the assistant coach talks to the players more, right? And not that Boogie doesn't, but definitely bonded with, like, Rocky over that, talking about that. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to see what's happening in the game. Like, sometimes coaches see things players don't, so we're constantly talking about the temperature of the game and, you know, kind of, he's kind of like mentoring me in a way that way, because he's the same way. Like, from everything I've heard, like, you just backed up, the most polite guy, soft-spoken off the ice. But as soon as it's time for that, he's the craziest. So I try to, that's kind of how I see myself too. And the most willing, at least, you know, I'm not going to win everyone, but I'm going to take everyone, you know, unless you put me out, which hasn't knocked out what happened. I'm still coming at you. That's what Rocky was like, you know, it was more of like, his just attitude, the way he played the game, rather than just the winning or losing of the fight, you know, he's just going to eat everything and keep coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was fun to watch when he played. Sure.
Hey, Gabes, I was going to ask you, you know, as hard as you go on the ice and, you know, like you stand for something bigger than yourself and, you know, you have this attitude about you, you're also doing this off the ice in the community and, you know, in the world at large, and you're involved in several social justice issues. Do you want to talk about that and what you're, you know, what message you're trying to get across on some of these different issues and how you're going about it?
Yeah, thank you, dude. Yeah, every podcast I come on, I like to touch on this, because there's no excuse, in my opinion, to not. You know, we're all different people. We all have different views on these things. You know, I'm not asking people to change overnight or, you know, say that their opinions are wrong. But I have looked into both sides of these issues, you know, one being LGBTQ and the other, the Black Lives Matter movement. And I try to educate on both sides. And I'm just trying to bring more discussion to these things. You know, I'm not an expert. I'm trying to learn as I go, but I just think there's just way too many, you know, lies spread faster than truth these days. And I'm sick of that. Like, you know, there's the internet. You know how easy it is to quickly look up in 20 minutes. You could educate yourself basically enough on, you know, LGBTQ and why you're just normal people. There's no reason to be thinking that homosexuality or anybody on the spectrum of the LGBT is any different than you and I. It's ridiculous. You know, people want to, you know, accept modern science, but they want to, you know, talk down on people because of old traditions and religions and stuff. You know, I just think it's stupid. Like if you're going to pick and choose how you like, you know, treat people and who has rights and who doesn't, then go back to the 2000 years old, you know, medicinal practices and use that then, and since say that you're all about tradition. Like, give me a break. Like, yeah. You take antibiotics, you take all this modern science, and you're not going to look into the science that proves that these people are just normal people. And then same thing with Black Lives Matter. It's just pigmentation in their skin, guys. Like,
yeah.
If we flipped it, it would be, you know, if you got farther away from the equator, your skin got darker, the white people would be the people that were enslaved. It just would have gone the same way. Human history would have gone the same way with the different colors. We'd be the oppressed people. Like, it's just hate. It's just learned behavior, and there's just no excuse for it anymore. So that's what I stand for, is that you got to, you know, if you're raised by someone or a family that looks down on these issues or these people, it's time to, like, it's your wake-up call to wake up, and you got to form your own opinions and look into what's truth and what's real and what's ignorant and what's wrong. So, yeah, there's just no excuse to judge people on anything other than their character, their morals, their, you know, the things that are intangibles. We can't be judging people on how they look, you know, what religion they practice, who they love, all that stuff, who they're attracted to. It's just, it's garbage.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, I agree. You're not born with it. You're taught that. Like, that's my opinion. You know, I don't think any baby's born with hate.
Not one.
No.
But they sure as hell are taught it. Kids, yep. You know, and that's where it starts. And that's the shame of it, because, you know, you see someone that's ignorant as hell, that's what they were taught, but it's all they know, and that's all they've been taught.
You try to change them,
but
I have compassion for that, though, because I love my mom to death. She's my only parent. I have my mom, my brother, my stepdad's been awesome, but me and my mom, special connection. If she brought me up to hate Black people, to hate gay people, LGBT people, I would hate them. Then I'd be like, but at some point I have to be like, hey, is this reality, or is this me just because my mom's gave me life and fed me and is, you know, I love her. Am I just going to follow her because of that? No. Like, so I have compassion for people that are conditioned that way, because I was conditioned that way as a hockey player. I was using homophobic slurs. I had no idea what I was talking about. I was naive. Right. I wasn't hateful. I was naive, though, and not aware. So there's just no more excuse. Whether you're a naive or you're hateful, there's no excuse to not be aware anymore, you know? COVID hit, we're all stuck inside. George Floyd gets murdered. Ahmaud Arbery gets murdered. That got me to finally be like, all right, I need to look into this more. You know, when Kaepernick took a knee, I was kind of like, oh, good job, man. But I didn't speak up and look into it more. Now I understand why he's doing it, why all these things are happening. And it's just not acceptable anymore. And we need everyone to pull on the rope just a little bit. I'm not saying you have to post on social media. I'm not saying you have to be the loud person in a group talking about it, but just do your part. Do the little things every day to start eradicating this. Stand up for people if you see racism. If you see a little micro thing, or somebody at the office is talking behind somebody's back about religion or who they're attracted to, like, call that out. We got to start fixing this thing, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was just going to say, like, everything you're talking about here, both you and Nasty, is really... it's just about, it comes under the umbrella of love, right? There's no love anymore. You know what I mean? So whether you're Black, white, yellow, orange, you know, it's at the end of the day, it is about that. You know, if you could take the politics maybe out of the Black Lives Matter movement and just look at it for what it is, it's nothing more than just loving your neighbor, right? I mean, the same thing with the other community. It's just about, like, love. It's like everyone has access to the same energy of love, and, you know, should be able to express it how they choose, you know. And then, well, obviously the opposite of that is hate, and that's, you know, the conversation we're having here. But you know, it's unfortunate that we've become so divided and hateful, and this energy is just such a dark cloud that it's very apparent. Now, I think COVID's exposed it. You know, it was already there. It's been there for a long time. And I think part of the system is responsible for the separation, right? I mean, but us as, you know, the human species, got to recognize that, you know, and still find that love in your heart and be able to, you know, to lead from that place. Because All it is like respect. Doesn't matter what job title you have or what you do or anything. It's just about like, you know, that goes across the board to all beings. It's just like, it's just, and we're just, you know, it's frustrating. I love to see you stand up for something like this because it's easy to just dismiss. And it's, again, I don't even think this is necessarily a race issue or a sexist issue. It's just a human issue that's just kind of plagued everybody. And you know, and everyone, no one wants to put a label on what, you know, what they believe and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just like, it's a lack of love. That's the way I see it. It's just, we're resentful, we're hateful, we're fearful. And, you know, and just curate all these negative energies, and they just express themselves in a bad way.
They're insecure with their own lives. Like, people are insecure with their own lives. They just want to project hate on others because they're dissatisfied. Like, go work on yourself. It's a mental health crisis going on right now. Yeah. Go worry about yourself, you know, worry about fixing yourself and your own life before you start worrying about others. I didn't speak about this until I was ready to. I wasn't as open because I hadn't figured myself out yet, but now I've figured myself out. I understand, Riley, that love is the freaking answer for everything. And I'm trying to show that I can go out and fight Orion Reeves and be the most masculine dude you could ever be, but then get off the ice and me and him could talk about race. And I had plans to ask him to do that. I'm going to start with my own teammate, Evander Kane, but we got to talk about these things and separate it. We can be enemies on the ice and we can still be loving individuals off the ice, in my opinion. Sure. And that's the kind of a message I want to send people, you know, that's the respect. That's what's gone in the game. All these guys like to take things off the ice and stuff. Leave it on the ice. I could absolutely hate you on the ice, but let's go off the ice and let's talk about things and fix issues together. That's what we got to do. We got to set aside differences, come together.
Yeah. And then you bring the honor of the fight, you know, to the forefront where it's like, okay, we fight. There's a respect. We bow out peace. And then there's love, right? It's like you said, you really go for a beer, you know, smoke a joint, whatever you do with your, you know, these guys. Yeah. It's just, it's showing this, you know, this element of peace, which is love. It's, you know, it's through the heart chakra. I mean, it's very, very obvious, but, you know, I just think the world needs more of that now than ever. I mean, I think, you know, the cat's out of the bag at how disconnected we've become. And it all starts with our own personal collective consciousness of like how we are presenting ourselves, right? I mean, it's the collective. But it's like, be the change. If you want to see love, you got to be more loving. You got to show more love. If you're going to continue down this path of hate, well, you know, you're going to continue down this collective, you know, consciousness of hate, unfortunately. But, you know, you're doing some amazing things. And I actually read somewhere you were the first player to use the pride tape outside of the actual NHL's designated pride nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just making a statement. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, good for you.
Been over 2 years since I put it on and never taken it off. It's on every stick handle stick, every stick I use this summer, it's on it. So got, you know, a lot of kids started using it. A lot of, you know, kid messaged me, said he stopped everybody in his room and his locker room using homophobic language. Like, that's a win. That's a small change that we all can be a part of. That's just, I left some tape on my stick, you know, because I was willing to jump into something I didn't understand. And I wasn't worried about, oh, if I mess up, people are going to think they hate me, or if I say the wrong thing about this issue, or they're all going to come at me. It's like, no, even if they do, I know my intentions. I know who I am. There's no, I'm not worried about being, you know, people want to talk about all with cancel culture and all that stuff. It's just holding people accountable. That's all cancel culture is. You mess up. Hey, do better. Got it. Roger that. I'll go fix that. I'll work on that. That's all it is. So I'm not scared of that because I'm a secure person. I know my intentions. People can change. People can work on things. So it's, I'm just trying to show maybe out in the open what, you know, white, straight, pro hockey player, male could just do to make a change, to make better. Historically, it's our demographic that's caused all these freaking problems. So we need to be the ones with the most privilege to start doing better, really.
Yeah. And you're a tough guy, right? You're alpha male, you're, you know, all these things that would most people wouldn't associate with standing for something like this. I mean, I say that and it sounds bizarre that I would even say it like that, but you know, to stand up for these types of issues, which are extremely important. But I think that the young generation looking up to a guy like you, not that there's anything wrong with this being from a skill guy. I would love to see a high end 50 goal scorer step out into the light like this, but it just shows you that like you could be masculine, you could be tough, you could be, you know, all these things, but also stand for this energy of love and everything that it encompasses, because it's all these things that you've talked about, right? It's just like, and be proud of that and doing it without showing any sign of doubt or fear, you know, because you're going to have haters and you're sure you get it all the time. because people just can't help themselves. They can't see, they can't help to see somebody, you know, be successful and stand for something so powerful, because you know what I mean? They feel affected. They feel offended almost, which is scary. Yeah. Scared.
And all I'm doing sitting over here is just saying love, man. You know, people come and chirp me and I just write back and I'm like, dude, you seem pretty angry. You seem like you got a lot of stuff going on. Like, throw me a DM. All love, brother. Like, it's all good, man. Like, I'm secure enough to know that you, anything you say to me, you don't personally know me. So I have no friction towards you. Why? Well, how can I be mad at you? It's illogical for you to hate me if you don't know me. You can hate me as a hockey player. I'll chalk it up. I love
it. Yeah, you love it.
But the only people's opinion I care about are people who can pick up the phone and call me.
Right.
You know, my close knit circle of people. That's all I care about at the end of the day. So what am I scared of?
Yeah.
So true. So powerful, man.
Thanks for bringing that up, man. Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
No, I see what you're doing and I recognize it.
Done a lot, man. Way. It's been really good to see that. Just the beginning, man.
Yeah,
if I can solidify my spot here for good, right? It's my platform just grows exponentially, and you know, not more people pick up the phone to do stuff or bigger sponsors come out for stuff when you have NHL tacked onto it. So
right, no, that's the truth.
I got an army of love behind me and I just feel like it's pushing me forward on all the stuff I'm doing.
Yeah. I just want to say from my perspective, what I see is just like the beginning. Like, this is just the beginning of Curtis Gabriel from what I see. And I talked to you this off season when I was introduced to you and we got a couple phone calls, but and I could just tell your passion and you know, you're talking about maybe going to Europe and I still want to live out my dream. But I feel like now what I'm seeing here is like the dream is just unfolding, you know? I mean, you're just beginning and you look unstoppable. And
thanks,
you know,
man,
and it's all, you know, it goes back to that energy. You're rolling with the right energy. So keep it up, man. That's all I can say. You are being noticed in more ways than just that physical presence on the ice. You are being noticed in the community. So
thank you.
Don't stop.
Thanks, guys.
Don't stop.
That's why I said he's hot, baby.
He's hot. Keep it rolling.
He's hot. I got a question for you, Gabes. Can you score a goal on your old lady, on your girlfriend? Can you? Are you sure? I've seen her in net, man. Right. I've seen the video.
I had to help her out a little bit. You know, she's sensitive and she didn't want to be lit up too hard. So that video I posted of her, I went a little easy. I told out some crazy moves I would never try. I got her with some. I didn't get her with the rest. I'm just happy. You know, she got her collarbone broken by a girl shot before. So she's like,
no.
She's like, I was ripping some clappers at her. She wanted me to rip a couple full out just to say. She's like, yeah. I can take it. But she's like, don't let it get above my shoulder. Destroy my shoulder. She's like, I'm not weak, but it's just like, that's just, I'm scared of that.
Any goalie probably is going to tell you that. Not even because it's the girl.
Doobie freaking tells me that. So if he's telling me that, I'm pretty sure my girlfriend can.
Let me ask you this. Do any of the boys chirp you about her? Because she's a good-looking woman.
Yeah, Burnsy.
Burnsy does.
Burnsy's. And she knows. He FaceTimed her off my phone when we were watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's good. Great. Yeah. Burnsy, she's like, oh, who's that, Chewbacca?
Viking. It just answered the phone.
The Viking, yeah, exactly. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is like the people out there, especially the Chipotle guys, keep messing your orders up. Are they not watching the games? Because this guy, they're playing with their lives, delivering the shit when it's not right, man.
It's not the DoorDash people. It's the freaking Chipotle people putting the wrong order in the bag. So it is Chipotle, man. And they're just too big. They're too big, and they make mistakes all the time. So it's getting ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous.
I'm going to pay my visit. I got to see those Chipotle stories. Corporate. Groundwork.
You should be free there by now, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. We gotta get you a deal.
Get you a deal, just man.
I got a potato deal coming for sure.
That's coming.
But, I don't know when. But I'm just trying to show the fans some personality,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm just a knuckle dragger.
Oh, it's great.
You know, that doesn't think about anything else. You know, I'm a human being off the ice, all about love, all about doing the right thing. And I get to go on the ice and let all the other stuff out.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, have some fun, man.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah, man. It really is. All right, Gabe. So I know you got to get rolling, man. And we really appreciate all this time and insights and energy. Nothing but energy.
Yes.
Man. Keep it rolling.
Fucking awesome, man. Keep it going, bud.
gets me going. Every time I do one of these, it gets me going the rest of the day, and I'm like buzzing like a jet. Like I get wound up real easy. That's what I tell people. I get wound up easier than most people, and I can keep it going. I know how to keep it going. So you guys just wound me up today. I'll go talk to some old reporter now, and I'll be buzzing because of you guys.
Beauty.
All right, brother. We really appreciate your time, my man. Thanks, yeah, man. And I look forward to talking again next time we can go longer or something.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Keep it going, bud. I got some stuff coming to you too, by the way.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. Talk see, to you boys.
Soon. See you. See you, brother.
That episode was brought to you by Manscaped. Did you fill out your bracket yet? Our sponsor is Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, wanted to remind you to do so. Their precision-engineered tools for your family jewels will help you turn that Kentucky Wildcat in your pants into a South Carolina Gamecock. Wee-oo! Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for my college basketball fans. 20% off and free shipping with the code Knuckles at manscaped.com. Nass, do you remember the first time you cut your ball shaving?
Oh, do I? Wow. Lots of blood, Riggs.
Well, hopefully you changed up your strategy and got into the old Manscaped.
I did. And I'll tell you what, the confidence I have now is unbelievable.
Whew, happy to hear. Manscaped has created the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower shave clean and easy.
Just don't do that in the pool, Riggs, just because it says water.
The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which is the MVP of men's grooming kits. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. Manscaped threw in two free gifts into their Perfect Package, a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to store all your grooming goodies. Your purchase goes towards a good cause because they partnered with the GOAT, Alex Caruso, and the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code Knuckles at manscaped.com. Join the Manscaped movement and start taking care of your balls today. Every purchase at manscaped.com goes towards contributions made to the Testicular Cancer Society. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Knuckles. Be the best ball handler this year with Manscaped.
Oh, I got sick mitts. Sick mitts for the balls. Oof.
Also want to thank our awesome guest, Curtis Gabriel, for joining us in episode 15 of Nasty Knuckles. What an amazing story and what a high energy guy. Really happy to see him doing well and finding some momentum in the NHL this year.
He really is like, you know, I was kind of playing around when I said he's the hottest guy, but I mean, he is one of the hottest guys as far as topics. Can't ignore him. You can't act like you don't see him out there because he's one of those guys. He talks, but he backs it up, man. And that's one of the biggest things because there aren't a whole lot of guys like that anymore.
Yeah, that's the truth. He's a throwback, no question. And actually was in the Flyers organization last year. And I think he's banged up and didn't really get a sniff, obviously. But really nice to see him, say, figure it out. I think he was figuring it out the last couple of years and realizing what he had to do and what type of identity he had to bring to the arena every night. And it's shown this year in San Jose. I think he's played 9 games and he's got three big fights. But his presence, you know, he's in the media. He's being verbal on the bench. He's grinding it out on the ice, finishing his checks, engaging in the fisticuffs against the heavyweights. But it's really nice to see him just find that momentum, find himself, and essentially make a name for himself in a short portion of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I met him last year, obviously at camp and everything, and I loved his energy. And it's hard not liking guys like that around because they're just in a good mood, they're happy, and you know, yeah, he's one of those guys that probably stays on the ice longer than other guys. It could piss him off while he's showing us up. He's really just trying to get better, and that's all he's doing. But I mean, the difference in their team since he joined is it's noticeable. And I mean, your coach really is talking about it. You know, your assistant captains are talking about it. Your captain's talking about it.
Yep.
I mean, say what you want, man. You like him or you don't, but he shows up to play every single night. And if you do something on the ice, you're going to hear about it from him if it's, you know, something against one of his guys. And I just don't, I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's something maybe we need around here a little bit, you know, with the Flyboys, just a little attitude, a little bit more energy. And I think it's great. I think it's fun to watch. I think it makes the game interesting.
It really does. Yeah. The Flyers definitely could use a little enthusiasm. There's no question. Like I said, he's a throwback, you know, he's full of energy. He understands his role fully. But he's just like an overall good team guy. Like he's putting in the work, he's backing it up. Like you said, he's got a vision. You know, he's doing a lot of great stuff off the ice, you know, standing up for something a lot bigger than himself. So, overall, just, you know, always excited for guys like that, whether it's him or anybody that falls under that umbrella. Good people, you know, good character, selfless, it seems like. And, you know, wish him the best because, you know, there's not many guys like him floating around. Certainly not young, younger guys that are hungry enough to you know, to push the envelope, you know, and to really take on that role of, say, the enforcer, which is a dying breed or has been dying for the last 10 years at least. So wish him nothing but the best. He's really bringing a spark to that San Jose Sharks club, even though they're, you know, a little ways out of a playoff spot. But, you know, for him, he's fighting for his job, fighting for next year, you know, fighting potentially for a playoff spot if they can turn things around. But overall, a great story in the NHL because he was an underdog, didn't start the season there. And he started, you know, in San Jose's minor league system and just got noticed. You know, it's hard to, like you said earlier, it's hard to not notice him.
Exactly.
Whether you're on the ice or your management, coaching staff, he finds a way to get noticed in a positive way. He's doing some positive stuff. So props to him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, man. It's fun to watch. I would imagine as a player, I know when I was on the bench for so many years with guy, I just loved how yourself, Wayne Simmons, there's been plenty of guys, Asham, you know, Rosehill, right. You can just keep naming guys, but the effect it has on players, your skilled guys, when you know you have someone there, you know, that's, and you know, a lot of people say, well, you got to be team tough. Yeah, you got to be team tough, but you got to also have someone that can answer the bell and when they need to, and stand up the whole time and say to, you know, whatever guy on the other team, hey, you're not going to do that, and be able to back it up. And he's ready to do it and willing and wanting to.
Oh, yeah.
I hear many guys that it's like you said, it's like you said, like no one really wants to get punched in the face, but he's willing to do that for his team. And, you know, and a lot of guys are, but he just brings it every night, man. And it's infectious. I really believe that.
Yeah, it is. It just gives the guys a sense of comfort, right? I mean, you have a guy that's going to go out there and you know, and support you and stick up for you and the whole bit. It's hard to deny that energy doesn't translate into other guys. It just gives them a little more confidence. Not saying that, you know, you're going to go out there and be every guy's going to be a 50 goal scorer because he's in the lineup. I think it's just overall, I think what, you know, a lot of coaches call it is glue, right? I mean, just glue guy, you know, he just, you know, an energy beacon and hopefully brings guys together. So really, you know, excited for him and that opportunity. I think it's been a long time coming for him to really establish his roots into an organization. I think he's doing that in San Jose. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, Nass. Well, this pretty much wraps up episode 15 of Nasty Knuckles. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 16. Stay safe and have some fun this week. Take care, knuckleheads.
Take care, knuckleheads. Don't forget to reach out to me for Howie Steele, baby.
Oh, yeah.
See you guys. Howie.
Imagine Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.